This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today is a happening one, and we need your thoughts on it. Took a lot of phone calls in the first hour on this question. Do you support abolishing the IRS? Yes, no, or you want some more information, go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. And the way you find that is youtube.com/@AnnieFry. If you pull up the YouTube app on your phone, type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y. You'll see we're broadcasting live right now. And when you click on that live broadcast, you're going to see the live chat option. That's where the poll is, which is why we call it the YouTube live chat poll. Do you support abolishing the IRS? Yes or no? Ryan, just to sum up the last hour, your thoughts on this question specifically, especially considering a lot of people who called in agreed with you. That's for sure.
Yeah, I am a yes on this, and I am a yes more in theory than in practicality, because there are a lot of questions, which is why I think there's the answer, need more info. But I am all in on yes, because to me, the ends justify the means with getting rid of income tax, personal income tax. As callers brought up, there are ways to still use an agency to monitor business taxes. But to me, the IRS and income tax, personal income tax, are inextricably linked, and getting rid of one means getting rid of the other.
Brad?
I'm still a no, and that's because, as a lot of our callers have brought up, that you still need an agency to collect and enforce these tax laws. I'm a proponent of the flat tax on the income tax. You know, everybody fills out the postcard. One of our callers said, hey, you need some sort of enforcement mechanism because people won't self-report. That's cool. That's what an IRS would do. But it wouldn't have to be as big and as complicated as it is now. So yes, but in a reduced form.
I still feel like I need more info, but I think I'm leaning Brad right now.
Don't care for that.
let's put that on the shelf right now. Get your comments in and let us know what you think on that. I'm real quick, say JB said yes, they are as corrupt as the other alphabet agencies. Mark said yes, tear it down and develop a flat tax in true Doge fashion. We did get a message from a listener who reminded us that if there is a consumption tax that was implemented, one of those phone callers said that, hey, listen, I'm on a fixed income. And if I'm going to start having to pay 25% more on everything that I consume, I don't know how I afford that. In the implementation of a consumption tax, just like right now when you go to the grocery store and you're filling your cart up with food and goods and, you know, like sanitary items, cleaning house, I don't know all of the things that are exempt from tax, but you don't pay tax, sales tax on food right now. So I think that that's an interesting thought that a listener sent me that I was like, well, that does actually significantly influence my thought on that consumption tax. But how do you afford the rest of it? I don't know. I would also suggest that if this is what we have to do to make Social Security solvent, then maybe the preservation of a government that's not way over in over its head in debt can actually sustain Social Security. But I don't know if that fixes the guy's problem right now. That might help my problem in 30 years, but not that guy's. Chris said taxes would have to be 100% automatic for the IRS to go away, which is kind of how you do a sales tax, I assume. And Vicky said, I'm a yes, actually a yes 100%. So keep your questions coming in. We would love to hear more from you and get your thoughts on this one. I wanted to shift gears here and tee this up for Brad and Ryan as well. I am, of course, female, but I am raising a young man. And I think that when it comes to watching what the Barack Obama-led Hope and Change, complete and total social and cultural revolution that they have successfully implemented, and how much it has affected young men who have grown up in this society, I'm very grateful that my son, who is 15 right now, is getting to have his most formative years in a time where the culture isn't hating men so much. Let's listen to J.D. Vance here talk about masculinity at CPAC.
Ask me, you know, my message to young men is I think that our culture sends a message to young men that you should suppress every masculine urge. You should try to cast aside your family. You should try to suppress what makes you a young man in the first place. And I think that my message to young men is don't allow this broken culture to send you a message that you're a bad person because you're a man, because you like to tell a joke, because you like to have a beer with your friends, or because you're competitive. It's... Our message, the cultural message, and I think the president's and mine is the exact opposite, but our cultural message is, I think that it wants to turn everybody, into, whether male or female, into androgynous idiots who think the same, talk the same, and act the same. We actually think God made male and female for a purpose, and we want you guys to thrive as young men and as young women, and we're going to help with our public policy to make it possible to do that.
So listening to J.D. Vance there, I'm not going to preface a question to you at all. I'm going to ask you as men what your thoughts are and what he just said there. Brad, you definitely work with youth as a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. Ryan, you're raising two sons. From your perspective as a man, Ryan, what does it mean to you to hear the Vice President of the United States speak that way, especially knowing he's our age?
It's fantastic to hear this coming from a real leader in the United States, mm-hmm. because there are people who've been saying this for a long time. It's not as if there's been no counterculture message, which is what this is right now. It's a countercultural message. There are great thought leaders in America who have been saying this for the last decade. Before that, you didn't really need to say it, but for the last decade, you have. To hear him as the Vice President of the United States asserting that not only is this true, we're acting based on this being true, and also don't let anybody tell you that it's not. You can disagree, but what he's saying is you can disagree with this. This is America, but you're wrong, and we're going to be acting based on these premises. And it is just refreshing to get back to the basics. And J.D. Vance is actually very good at that. He's a really good spokesperson for these cultural issues.
Brad?
I'll tell you what I love about it is that you've got somebody like J.D. Vance who is basically living what he is speaking there. He's talking about, like, if there is somebody that I would like my son to grow up to be like, it would be J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance didn't allow the excuses of his upbringing to allow him to turn out to be anything other than a bad person or anything other than what he was destined to be. What's great about him is, and I remember watching the inauguration when they were swearing him in, I saw a still photo of his mom staring at him as he was being sworn in as the Vice President of the United States. And there was nothing but pride and admiration in her eyes. J.D. Vance has grown up to be that man, to espouse the masculinity that we've been talking about. And being the Vice President, he provides that counterweight to the vacuum that was created and these other men, quote unquote men, that have come in and basically are selling a version of it that is distorted and is just as bad as the crazy feminist stuff on the other side. There's men that have come in and they're speaking into our young men's lives with nonsense, distorted versions of what masculinity are. And what we need as a culture is to push both of those views out and get back to what J.D. Vance was just talking about right there. And I am so excited to have the Vice President of the United States not only espouse those views, but to live those views and be a great example of those views.
As a mother, I'm always kind of, I don't know if you're here yet, Ryan. You're probably not with your kids. But I'm thinking of how my kids would be as spouses. And, you know, especially with my son being 15, I'm 3 years away from maybe losing him in my home. And then he goes out into the world. And like at that point, it's like, you know, my husband and I will obviously always be there for him. But at that point, you gotta, I've pre-programmed you with the full amount of lessons. I say, for the record, every time I'm saying I mean my husband and me, but he's not here. We pre-program him with a foundation that we want to be his reference point when anything comes up. And for our family, that's our faith. That's our Christian faith. That's why I invest, which is a true sacrifice for our family, to invest in a private education that includes Jesus in lessons, because that's important to us. Now, if you have a different faith, and you prioritize your faith, then I understand and respect why you would invest in that foundation being broader than just what mom and dad tell you. That's why we go to church. This whole foundation that we set for them, a firm foundation, so that when they're no longer at home with us and we're not literally supervising the challenges that they face, that the reference point that they go back to is a solid, firm foundation. The scary is kind of, I don't know if that's the right word, but the incredibly intimidating thing about that understanding is that if you know anything, if you are a biblical, if you're a Christian person, what you understand to be true is that that firm foundation, by virtue of needing to have that firm foundation, if you have a faith walk or whatever, you're going to know that the whole intent of the worldly world is going to constantly try to challenge him and push him off of that solid foundation. And it's not popular, nor is it trendy, to be outwardly rooted in your faith. And that everything that the world is throwing at you, whether it's things to challenge the calmness and the soundness of your mind, if it's sex, which is everywhere and thrown into the faces of our young people. And I know a lot of people think immediately, and I'm saying the words out loud, so earmuffs, little kids, but pornography that is out there that is reaching in to poison the minds of young men, middle-aged men, and old men. There is an equivalent that is reaching into the telephones that your daughters are holding, the screens that your daughters are seeing, the social life that your daughters are having. I mean, it's all the same kind of poison. And it's all there to rip you away from the firm foundation that's been planted inside of you. You pray and pray and pray that when they are out of the house, that firm foundation is the thing that stands. Even if they hate your guts because you didn't give them the money that they want or the situation, the setup that they want, that firm foundation is there. The things that I hear J.D. Vance talking about, they're not only biblical things, but they're not biblical things. And I think that the very baseline jackhammer that the Obama mentality put towards this line of thinking was to socially reconstruct everything you know to be true so that you wouldn't challenge it publicly. That it becomes so hateful to suggest things that are by traditional nature your own values, that okay, while you have those values, you better not talk about them. You better not put them out there. Because if you do, we're coming at you hard. And we will cancel you. We will end you. We will make sure everybody understands the bigot that you are. And they went the hardest at white men because that was the only way that they could upend the whole system. Traditional values value men. And truly, in the way that traditional values value men, it respects women because it uplifts the family. And you can't have that as a societal norm. You cannot have the furtherance of society without family and procreation. When you hear J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States, with not an ounce or speck of fear in his voice, say, men need to be men. Men need to understand that they need to not be afraid of this anymore. We are talking culture now. We are not talking politics. And culture dictates politics. Culture is first. And right now, you have a whole host of young men who are tired of being told to sit down and shut up, tired of suppressing their natural instincts as testosterone-laden men. This is the thing that frustrates me the most. The fact that they've been told to sit down and shut up about it doesn't stop the testosterone level in their body from happening and from influencing. You can't stop that from happening. What these people need to be taught, what these XY chromosome humans need to be taught is how to be a man about it. Not how to be a savage Neanderthal who has all these urges. And I mean, quite honestly, if you've got a sexual urge, whatever it is, you should fulfill it, because if it feels good for you, then you should go there. You need to be taught how to be a man that commands respect by giving respect, a man that understands how to treat a woman who knows how to self-respect and respect the men in her life and the women in her life, and to uphold those same sorts of foundational basics that keep a successful procreating society alive. Like, we are craving in our society men. And when I hear J.D. Vance talking about it, that permits in our minds, not governmentally or legally, that permits people to go, did you hear what J.D. Vance said? Did you hear what he said about masculinity? And then the people next to you go, yeah, it was great. But you're whispering. But at least you're talking. And once those conversations start happening, we can get back to the place where, we've had conversations on the show about toxic masculinity before. I do believe that there is toxic masculinity. But when I say toxic masculinity, I'm talking about the greasy, slick guys who walk up and think that because they're a man, they're going to like insert themselves into your life in a way that is just going to dictate things. And no, that's not how it works. Real, raw, strong masculinity is incredibly potent, and it moves the ball down the field. And that's what causes women to gain strength. We have purpose through one another. And there is a natural order to things that, I will say it this way, in the midst of all of the opportunities that exist, I'm not saying there's only one right way, but I am telling you that the people who have been living of the traditional lifestyle or the traditional values have been told that they don't get to exist. They are excluded. They are not included. The inclusivity of diversity does not include heterosexual Christian white men. Until now, it's back. And I'm so happy to hear J.D. Vance talking about it as a mother who wants to make sure that my son is growing up in a culture, in a society, where he is taught to be a respectful man. And I'm happy to hear you guys say, too, from your perspective, because it's obviously different than mine, that this has been absent, and it's really good to hear.
What's shocking about this is that I think America has just assumed, maybe the whole Western world, has assumed for the last 30, 40, maybe even longer than that years, that the inevitable march of culture was constantly, constantly away from these things. Nobody thought it was possible to return to some of these things culturally. And we are in the midst of, and we're, what, a month in? People thought, well, maybe during Trump's first term, we're starting to hit on it. But we didn't quite get there, and then you saw it all regress for 4 years. It all went away. And now you're going, wait a minute, This is bigger than just politics. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, you play this, is because it's not just J.D. Vance vice president. It's J.D. Vance, the dad, J.D. Vance, huge platform, talking to men culturally. Nobody thought we could get back to this place. And the people who've been waiting for this and praying for this are excited to see that maybe we're getting there. Not that you need cultural validation to believe these things or to live them out, but man, is it nice to see the culture returning a little bit to some sanity.
Well, I don't think it's even that you need cultural validation. You just want to see the family return as the family unit as the central unit of culture, because it's so vital for a successful, thriving culture. That's what all that yearning and desire is for. There's a reason the family unit has been what it was for eternity past, because it worked. It's good for society. And the people that are like, hey, we need to get back to this, are like, hey, look what's going on with culture. Look what's going on with society. We're trying it your way and it's not working.
You know what it is? It's a renaissance. It truly is a renaissance. And if we get to the point where the ideas that are that people did cross over in the aisle or step into Trump world to make this possible. And Donald Trump did that by creating a coalition that was broader than just, are you GOP enough? It wasn't that. He did something that was absolutely transformative for the Republican Party. While this is happening, I remind you, when things start going better, and I think they're going better already, it's going to take some people some time. Your kindness, your welcoming nature, your affirmation of, yeah, I voted for this. Not running away scared, but your willingness to stand up and talk about these things, it will attract more people. You want this to be a true renaissance? Share it, spread it, live it. Do not be afraid of it, because what they keep saying, we are so back. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Annie.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
All right, if you've got questions that have been burning in your soul that you needed to ask the Annie Fry Show, now's the time to get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave us a comment in the YouTube chat. We'll wrap up this hour answering your questions. If you are a new subscriber, you have to wait 5 minutes just to make sure you're not a troll. Unless you're a really committed troll, then you just have to wait 5 minutes to troll. Ryan, your question first.
Tomorrow morning, Saturday, you go down to your local bakery. For me, that would be Cruda. You can pick out one item.
Cake, donut, white icing.
I think that was easy. Cake, donut, white icing. Mm-hmm. Why cake donut?
Because they're the best donuts.
Brad?
What do you mean, why cake donut? You asked me what I pick, and that's what I like.
Annie's correct. The only thing that I would change about that is I wouldn't get any icing, just a plain cake donut.
He's wrong about that.
Cake donuts are the best.
Man, I actually don't love cake donuts that much.
Well, you're wrong. What would you get?
Anything really, probably chocolate icing, custard filled.
Custard filled's good. Custard over jelly?
Yes.
Do you like jelly filled?
Not always.
Is there a donut? There's a plate of donuts outside, free donuts. There's only one kind left. Is there a donut you're walking past?
Yeah.
and half eaten one.
No, it's I thought of the question because I'm looking outside right now, and there's a box of donuts, and there's one donut in it.
What is it?
And I didn't want it.
Is it a cake donut with white icing?
No, it's cream filled. I love custard filled so much that that's the main thing I want.
It's like a lie.
But cream filled is it's.
By
it's,
cream is
it's
it
overdone.
Like, it's just super sweet.
It's, yeah, it's like whipped icing,
fluffy powdered sugar.
Yes, yes,
which is what icing is.
Yeah, I just don't like them.
So what did, you're getting a?
I'm getting custard a custard donut. Filled, usually with chocolate icing.
All right, next question, Brad.
All right, so this one is one that one of you will have to dig deep and one of you won't. What is something that you like about yourself?
I love that one of us is going to have to dig deep about that. Like, I don't know. What could it possibly be? Ryan, you need to take some time?
No.
Brad, you go first.
No. Ryan didn't have to take any time.
He's taking time. He's just trying to pick one.
It's like spin the wheel.
That. Hey, yeah. For the record, your beard looks normal.
It's getting there.
Super gray in the middle, though.
That's no change, though.
Yeah,
I was like worried that it was going to come in grayer, and I don't think it's grayer.
I was hoping it'd come in red.
Me too. Not sure why, but I was. I knew it wasn't going to happen. Brad, no, you started. Go.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I like about myself is my sense of humor. I like liking to laugh. I think that that's one of the most fun things about anything that I do is finding the ridiculousness in anything and then laughing at it and not letting it get to me.
That's cute. I would say that I like how smart I am.
So you're good with that level?
You?
Just right there.
Annie?
Brad's got it out for you today.
I do.
Yeah,
and he thinks it's hilarious.
I do like my sense of humor.
I mean, he's having a good time.
Yeah, we're having fun.
He loves his sense of humor. I'm glad that I somehow got away in this room by saying, I just love how smart I am.
We're not going to argue with you.
Thank you. It would be worthless because I'm so smart. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a toot in the mic.
I'm just thinking.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite quality? This is a bizarre question.
Brats are always deep. Brad's questions are usually things he wants to answer himself.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
From now on, you can ask these questions, but you have to answer them for us.
Okay. I got the next one if you guys are ready.
No, I
would say... Yeah, it's like, have you ever had a body in your trunk? And you're like, what? And he's like, oh, I got a story.
The thing I like about myself is how well I feel like I know myself now, and I can be honest with my weaknesses. This is kind of a weird thing. I know the things about me that suck, and I'm working on them. Is that a terrible thing to say about what I like about myself?
You're not even saying you like something. You're just saying you like that you're getting rid of the bad things.
I'm not. I'm working on them.
You have to say something that is extremely complimentary of yourself.
I think I'm very self-aware. Would you agree?
Yes. That's what? Not your best. That's not the thing you like the best about yourself.
What if it is?
I don't know.
All right. Now, Brad, say something nice about both of us. No, stop. I'll say something nice about you guys. I'll go first. Ryan, I love your sense of humor. Brad, I love how smart you are. That's true. That's not even a lie. It's also funny. As you can tell by how hard Brad laughed. Ryan, just, are you in pain?
Yes. Not only was that question tough, now we got to do it for each other.
Well, if you can't think of anything nice to say about me, then now you know why I struggled.
Ha. Mine was all joke. I thought I was going to get through it.
Can you stop groaning into the mic?
There.
We'll
do what you did.
I can answer it. So,
see how much of a team player he is.
This is actually, of course, Ryan, you're kind of undermining what I'm about to say here, but anyway.
He's up for anything.
Like, I think you both.
Let me compliment you, Ryan. You're really sucking right now, but I got
you're
something.
You're typically pretty good at this, but not right now.
I think this is similar for both of you. I think you're both very sharp, very quick-witted.
Who's quicker?
Depends on what the topic is. I think with humor, Ryan's quicker. I think with everything else, Annie's quicker. But
gee whiz.
I appreciate.
This is a terrible question.
I appreciate
this is not
it.
Going the way that it should. Actually, it's going exactly the way that it should.
Is that but it? Now Ryan's going
Ryan, are you
slow.
Done?
Yeah, I'm finished.
What did you say about me?
I don't
that think I'm you're quick?
I think you got a quick, sharp wit.
Brad cares about everything. And that is...
In a good way.
That is tough to find. Somebody who is... You almost, except that he's so dang conservative, you'd almost call him a bleeding heart.
A bleeding heart conservative.
A bleeding heart conservative. You really would. And it's not just our team. Like, the whole office knows that. And you know how I know? Because I just participated in the voting for the Odyssey Awards.
Did you vote for Brad?
I did.
Did okay. I win?
No, he didn't win, though.
But he felt okay about it.
Yeah.
And he was happy for the person who won.
I championed his cause.
Yeah. I mean, the person I lost to is like, okay, yeah, definitely.
Annie. Gosh.
Do it. Say something
Do
nice.
Do you need some ibuprofen?
Okay.
I'm going to say this
because it doesn't always come across on air. Everybody knows Annie's very passionate about what she does. Annie also really deeply enjoys, like, gets joy out of doing this. And I can tell because there are times that I'm like, ooh, she's really serious, but then she's having a great time.
Now? This after 4 years of needed therapy... I didn't take it.
You're extremely genuine, too. Like if anybody ever asks me, because people would ask me this, especially back when I worked in music radio, because it's a little more performative.
Tell us about Annie.
Yeah, tell us about Annie Fry. I'm like, I don't know her. Isn't she on weekends on 97.1?
She won't let us be in the same room together.
But you really genuinely believe the same things as you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I'm not going to say that's rare, but it's good to know. Because then if you hear it, you're not like, oh, does she really, you know, is she like playing a part? Is there some sort of mandate coming down from above? There's nothing like that. And so it's good because then off air, I know that, well, you're not just saying these things. If you say it on air, I know, oh, you actually believe that, like in life. So that's to be commended.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very nice of you to say.
It took me a while to get there. But I think we got there.
I think you're going to be okay. Next question from me, your ideal wake up and bedtime. Nothing, no schedule, conflicts, or nothing. What is your ideal wake up
or get out of bed?
Clarify.
Tell me. There's a certain time that I'm going to wake up almost
ideal
every day.
Ideal bedtime, wake up time, get out of bed time. Three
okay.
things.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wake up pretty much every day at 7 because I just do. That's when everybody wakes up to go to school and then the weekends don't change because we're in the habit. Getting out of bed. I don't like getting out of bed on the weekends until at least 8. I like sitting there, chilling, maybe trying to doze off a little bit.
Just whatever. If it's your world and we're all just living in it.
Yeah.
Which is not actually the case.
Ideal bedtime is like 11.
Okay. Wake up at 8.
Wake up at 7. Get out of bed at 8. So I'm getting 8 hours.
All right, Brad?
I think my ideal bedtime is like 3 a.m., mm-hmm. and then I don't want to wake up until about 10, 10:30.
I was going to say ideal bedtime is 2. I think the most fun happens between about 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., mm-hmm. and it's not what you think. It's like playing Fortnite with my kids or, you know, that type of stuff. Ideal bedtime is 2 a.m. Ideal wake-up time, 10 a.m., get out of bed at 11. You seem super lazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
Those are the days. But I'm a night owl. I could be super functional at night, too. Like, when I'm making shirts for the show, I am cranking those suckers out past midnight all the time. So
I really love the one that says Patriot AF and bologna sausage.
Thank you.
Yeah, I almost wore that one as my undershirt today.
Well, why would you wear it as your undershirt?
I couldn't wear it as an undershirt today because it would have shown through.
Wear it as an overshirt where people can see it.
Well, it's a t-shirt.
That way it's closer winter. To my heart.
That's what I was about to say.
It's Lord have mercy. All right, send your questions in.
I have one more. Is putting a dessert that you could bring to a party?
You've asked that question before.
I know, but I don't remember the answer.
Yes.
You sure. can just bring a bowl of pudding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not into judging people's motivations. I don't have to eat it.
Yeah, well, you kind of do. Thank you very much.
Can we take a break now?
Yeah, I guess so.
Next question?
Next question.
Send them in at the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's our next question time here. We've got Todd Sivia coming in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to do a little X's and O's. We're going to bring that back for the afternoon. And Todd's going to come in here and play against our dear friend Julia and get a recap. We're going to find out if Ryan Wiggins still knows how to do this average to well. Your thoughts on it?
I have a very short memory, so
okay.
No.
All right, fantastic.
I don't.
First question from a listener today on our next question from the Annie Fry YouTube channel, asking if we would do, if any of us would do a stand-up set, a comedy stand-up set in public. It's asking me, but I'm asking you guys to
would
go
you?
First. I don't know. See, this is... I don't like the way this sounds when I say it out loud. I think I'm funny.
There's only one way to know.
I know. Well, I don't need other people to think that what I think is funny to think it's funny. There's a way that you have to present that. It's not just as easy as standing up and like saying things that you think are funny. So I don't know that I would be good at it.
I
would maybe consider doing if it was like for charity, and if I sucked, it still did something good for people.
That's kind of, I would try it. I think I would bomb, but I would definitely like to try it and to see if I actually could write a joke or several jokes that would be any good and maybe last 5 minutes on stage.
I wrote for a guy when I was like 19 and never returned to it, never got anywhere with him. Until just recently, I was like, you know what? Stand-up's such a big thing. And I looked back at some of my old notes, and this isn't from when I was 19, but just a couple years ago, I wrote down some notes like, oh, this would be a good bit. And I just, this was last week, I started looking at this, and I'm like, dang, this would be fun. And I don't know how long I could go, but I've got enough material for at least 15 minutes, maybe a little longer. I could maybe get it up to a half hour, but I was reading it and didn't remember writing it and was cracking up. Like, oh, this would be great.
So you found you hilarious.
Yes, I did.
That doesn't surprise
That's
me.
That's exactly what you just said.
Yeah. Except for I didn't write it down in a comedy stand-up set. I just think things in my head and chuckle to myself a lot. It's the way you get through life.
She's like, I think I'm funny.
Uh-huh.
Ryan's like, I am funny.
I say to my husband a lot that he's lucky I'm funny because the looks will fade and we'll always be laughing together. That's the plan. Bobo wants to know, what's your go-to fun fact about yourself? Mine is officially, or my two truths and a lie, so on and so forth, will always forever include I flew in an F-18 Super Hornet with the Blue Angels. So that's my fun fact.
Man, that's way cooler than anything I have.
It's also way cooler than anything else that I have.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm still jealous of that. Mine would be that I've had 3 heart attacks. That seems to be the one that gets the most shock value out of anybody when I tell them that. They're like, really? How did that happen? How old are you? And then I tell them that I was only 27 when I had the first one. And they go, oh, that's crazy.
They also probably don't know that you lost 100 pounds.
Well, that's usually what brings up the conversation itself. They're like, well, how'd you lose all the weight? And it's like, well, I had the right motivation. What was your motivation? Don't die. What do you mean? Well, I had 3 heart attacks. So that's usually how that story goes.
Mine is the reverse of yours. I used to be skinnier.
You know, I haven't always looked like this.
That's why. Yeah, my two truths and a lie.
Skinny and in shape.
One of them is like, when I was younger, I actually weighed less.
Yeah. Mine might be that I used to be skinnier too and I've had 4 kids. That's my excuse.
Me too. I'm like, I had 3 kids though.
Yeah. Twins even.
Yeah.
It does a number.
Right. Yeah. You know what? The one I always throw in that's the truth in the 3 truths and a lie is I've worked at 4 golf courses, which I have.
I hate the people who are like, I've worked at 5. That
I'm not
going to
do that. I'm not going to do it.
That was a lie.
Yeah, like, how are you supposed to know?
Dawn wants to know, next question, breakfast for dinner? And I'm a heck yes. Mickey waffles.
Ooh.
Oh, man. I'm not only a yes, we did it at our wedding. Breakfast for dinner
That's
at our wedding.
That's next level. What'd you have?
Yeah, 2007, we had all the mini muffins. We had really nice. It was meat. We had a full spread of meats. I think we had an omelet guy. It was like the full thing.
Hey, are you the omelet guy? No, he's over there.
This is the guy making the omelets.
I'm the pancake guy.
Yeah, this is... You need to keep walking, buddy.
Brad?
For sure. Breakfast for dinner? Yeah, as long as it's not pancakes. But everything else, yep.
Chris wants to know, next question, if you could ask or tell Trump something, what would it be?
shoot.
This is tough. Just one thing.
Shoot.
Would you try?
Ryan says, shoot.
If you met him, would you try to say something that would be memorable? Because it's your one chance to meet the current president of the United States.
I wonder how many people try to do that.
I would. That would be terrible. There's no way to do that.
Brian gets out his 15-minute set.
Yeah. Hey, you guys considered here. Making a weekend at Bernie's 3? And check this out. That is part of the material. I would just tell him thanks. I really don't know what else I would tell him. I would tell him thanks. I think he's really taken a lot for us. On our behalf.
This is going to sound really lame, but one of my like bucket list items would be to play a round of golf with Donald Trump. And so
that's a big bucket list item.
That is a big one. Yeah.
That would be your Blue Angels.
Yeah, that would be my Blue Angels. And I would shoot my shot. I'd be like, hey, can we play a round of golf together? I'd love to play golf with you. And that would probably be my big question I would ask him.
Your question is, can I have more time with you?
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't ask then... You're not gonna.
Can we get together again later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been great.
Yeah. This has really been great for me.
I would 100% thank him for what he's doing and for his resolve. To your point, like the things that have happened to him, including being shot. I could just say thank you. There probably should be more to that, but I think the first conversation, which would likely be the only opportunity I had, I would prioritize an incredible debt of gratitude that I had for him.
You know, one of the funniest things you could tell him is say something like, what's Marco Rubio really like?
No, no, no.
Like somebody else who's around him, who's clearly not the president. He's like, I'm fascinated with that guy. What's he like? What's Howard Lutnick like in person?
Yeah, that's really who I want to know more about. Howard Lutnick. I had a question queued up here. Where'd it go? Either of you have another one?
It rebooted. Oh, no.
Info Dude asks, do you make coffee at home? What is your favorite brand? I do not. I go to Scooters every day. I get an extra large, non-fat milk, sugar-free vanilla latte, sometimes with an extra shot if I have to coach something that night. And now with added protein cold foam on the top with no added flavor. My husband told me today, your coffee order is a meme. I said, hey, he knows it, though.
I don't make coffee at home. I don't like coffee. I don't like espresso. Once in a while, I'll get a moo latte at DQ.
Yeah, that counts.
That's the only thing with espresso.
What's your favorite coffee brand? Ice cream?
Dairy Queen.
I mean, pretty much.
I very rarely make it at home, but my brand is Caldi's Coffee. So that's what I would get at home.
Brad, you had a question queued up over there?
Yeah, this is really dumb. You can pick only one, grilled cheese or PB&J?
To eat one time or forever?
If you pick one... You can never pick the other one again.
So it's forever. Okay.
Peanut butter and jelly.
So yeah,
it's got protein in it.
PBJ.
I'm going grilled cheese.
Man, there's some really
good
grilled
cheese. Did you wait for us to answer to pick?
Yeah. No, it was always
Have
grilled
you ever
cheese.
Had an adult grilled sweet. Cheese? You know, those are kind of popular. Where they put other things in them. They put multiple cheeses or they make it with really fancy bread.
Not just Velveeta?
No.
Wow.
All kinds of bread? Really nice cheese. And
yeah, Jared makes those.
Sometimes they'll put chicken in it and buffalo sauce.
Well, that's not grilled cheese anymore.
Yeah, no, it's getting outside the realm, but it's all in the same category. Those things are really good.
Yes, I've had those.
Next question, Tim says, ask me anything. Tag Brad in it, but we can all answer this question too. Who decides who does what in your household?
I guess I go first. It's a group decision. Terry and I talk about it, and then we decide, what do I like to do? What do you like to do? What are we good at? And then we make the decision. So it's not either or.
I don't think we've ever had the discussion.
That means
you just sort of do it. You just sort of figure out who's doing what.
Have you increased your wife's allowance with a cola?
With the cola?
Yeah, yeah. Cost of living.
Ah. No.
I love it when the music drops.
No, in fact...
Your wife, who's gainfully employed, I might add.
Yeah, she man, you know what she's good at, though, is complaining about that. Man.
She's been married for this long.
I know.
And inflation, and I never get a cost of living increase.
She keeps telling me about inflation, and I'm like, I've never heard of it.
False. It is a group effort in our house, but I'm the type A, my husband's the type B. He does all the man stuff around the house, of course. Like, I don't even know how to turn on the grill, the new fancy grill. He made ribs and I ate some, and they were amazing. But he cooks. I do the money stuff. But the number one way for me to get something done in the house is to go, just all I got to do is go pick up the drill and start walking around with it. He starts getting stuff done right away. He's like, you put that thing down. X's and O's with Civia Law next. Don't go away.